Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And sometimes the places, special places, like Safe Passage Children's Advocacy Center. That is a special place in our community, marking its one-year anniversary. November is the milestone of the 1 year since it opened. And of course, the Advocacy Center is a nationally accredited children's advocacy center that provides hope and healing to children who have experienced sexual abuse and neglect. Safe Passage is Colorado's first and only co-located center located right here in Colorado Springs. And join us this morning to talk about the Children's Advocacy Center. We're so glad to have with us Maureen Mo Basenberg, Executive Director of Safe Passage. Mo, I believe we have you on the line.
Yes, good morning, Shannon. Thank you for having me.
Good morning to you. And also our other guests, we'll get to them in just a little while. Sarah Hagedorn, forensic nurse examiner and clinical manager with UC Health, is going to be joining us, along with Gail Christensen, a licensed clinical social worker with the Family Center. But let's start with Mo Basenberg and give us a little background on Safe Passage. Can you share some information on the work that you do here in the Pikes Peak region?
Yeah, definitely. So Safe Passage is a 501c3 nonprofit, and our mission is to serve abused children. We've been doing that for 28 years, and we do that work alongside the many community partners that are needed to ensure hope and healing can occur after a child's experienced abuse.
Now, when it comes to the Children's Advocacy Center, I first remember hearing that you had broken ground back in July of 2021. So how long has this initiative really been in the works?
Well, you know, it depends on where you want to start. For me personally, you could go back to July of 2016 when I interviewed for the position of executive director with the agency, because the board made it very clear that Safe Passage, you know, critically needed to expand. It was top of mind for some time. But really in earnest, the first meetings took place in fall of 2017, and that was really to engage those community partners and the board to look at the co-location model.
And I love this idea of co-location. Why is this model so significant, and who does involve? Who are the partner agencies?
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, it's significant really because it is a best practice. It's also significant because of the level of commitment needed from so many agencies and different systems. So for us, what co-location means is bringing together those key partners that are needed to complete a child abuse investigation and begin to move the child and family toward a healing path. So for us, Safe Passage is at the helm, but we also have alongside us the Colorado Springs Police Department Child Crimes Unit. We have El Paso County Sheriff's Office detectives, deputies. We have El Paso County Department of Human Services representatives. We have, of course, the UC Health forensic team, the Family Center providing our mental health services, and then we also brought in our prevention partner, someone I know you know well, Shannon, but we have Kid Power also at the helm.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure to emcee a couple of events for Kid Power. So happy to do so because it is a good cause. Let's talk about the role each of these agencies play in investigating abuse and neglect and bringing these kids into a safe place.
Sure. So with Safe Passage at the center of this, our role is really to make sure that all of the agencies are staying focused on what's best for that child and that family, reducing the trauma and staying kind of single-focused, single-minded, right? Providing advocacy, forensic interviews, resources, answers, and linkages to whatever else the family might need. And alongside that comes, you know, of course, we're investigating crime. You know, real-time criminal investigations are happening at the Advocacy Center. So that's where the Springs Police Department and the Sheriff's Office, you know, play that role. And then because it involves children and families, Department of Human Services plays a role when the case is involved. It is what we call in-home, you know, involving family members. That medical partner, UC Health, that you're going to hear from in a minute, they're providing, you know, some medical supports. So, you know, maybe a forensic exam, maybe just answering questions about the specialized nature of what the child has experienced. There's a lot of unknowns for a kiddo after having been violated in that way. And then the family center is going to provide the mental piece, right? So we have the physical piece with the medical, we have the mental health component, which is so necessary to break cycles, right? So that the children can learn safe boundaries and how to move forward. And then Kid Power, you know, they're kind of all the way back at the beginning when you think about prevention. However, every family that comes through Safe Passage, really since we opened, gets a referral to Kid Power because we know that they also help to redraw boundaries when they've been broken.
And I'm thinking of all those agencies, public and nonprofit, and just imagining that prior to co-location, just the logistics of getting a family through all those avenues had to be just really difficult, very challenging. So it sounds like the model is the way to eliminate those barriers. So let's talk about, you know, how the trends are going. For instance, this year, since January, how many kids and caregivers have gone through? And is that an uptick from what you've seen in previous years?
Yeah, so if you count, we ran stats from January to September 2022, and we served what we call primary and secondary victims, so that's the child. And of course, there's victimization for the caregiver as well, having, you know, been their trust been violated. So our count for that was 1,176. And if you do a comparison to the same time period in 2021, we had a count of 918. So we're talking about a 27% increase in those that we served.
Very significant indeed. All right. We need to take a short break right here at the quarter hour. Mo Basenberg, who's the executive director of Safe Passage, has been talking to us. Before we go to break, we want to give you their website. You can go to safepassagecac.org to find out more information on Safe Passage. When we come back, we'll be talking to UC Health's forensic nurse examiner and clinical manager, Sarah Hagedorn, about their efforts also in the cause of protecting kids and keeping kids safe and bringing them to safety when there's been abuse or neglect. You're listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. We're back with The Extra, and we're talking about the one-year milestone of the opening of Safe Passage Children's Advocacy Center, which is co-located with several partner agencies and groups. And today, to talk on behalf of UC Health, we are so pleased to have with us Sarah Hagedorn, who's a forensic nurse examiner and clinical manager. And Sarah, first of all, thank you for being here. Tell our listeners what a forensic nurse examiner is.
Well, thank you so much for having me. So a forensic nurse examiner is kind of a broad term that really is any interaction that a nurse has with the legal system. But in our case, we provide comprehensive medical care to all victims of violence.
So what is your role at the Children's Advocacy Center?
Our role is to provide medical care to any child that has experienced sexual abuse. This patient population has very unique needs and requires specialty services. So we are so happy to partner with an organization like Safe Passage to provide these services.
So in the past, it would have been that if a child needed to be examined, they would be brought to an emergency room. Why is the Safe Passage Center, why is this a better environment for the work that you're doing?
Well, first and foremost, you know, emergency departments, even the best in the world, can be scary, especially for children. We're able to provide these specialty services in a child-friendly, family-friendly environment. You know, our space versus, you know, a busy emergency room, our space at Safe Passage looks more like a living room. We have, things are soft and they're child-friendly and bright colors and just much more welcoming, so that the children and their parents or caregivers can just already take a breath and feel a little bit more at ease. One of the other great things about providing services at Safe Passage is that it connects us to families that we wouldn't necessarily always be connected to. You know, we see families that would not come to the hospital. So we're able to connect with those families that would not have had access to the specialty medical care without the Child Advocacy Center.
You're talking about children at, I guess, either end of the socioeconomic spectrum is what you're saying.
Basically, we know that, you know, child sexual abuse can happen to anybody. And so accessing medical services can be daunting. People sometimes don't know where to start, don't know what to do, don't even know that there are specialty medical services available. So this model at Safe Passage just allows everybody who needs to be at the table to ensure healing for these families is already in the same building.
Let's talk about numbers. I mean, for instance, if you're comparing, and it may not be apples to apples, but the numbers of victims that you treated, for instance, in the ERs through UC Health versus what you're seeing at the Children's Advocacy Center, how does it weigh up? How does it compare?
Well, we are having far more interactions with patients and families at Safe Passage than we would at the emergency room. But even as Safe Passage has moved into the co-located facility, so for example, from January to September of 2021, there were 10 medical forensic exams at Safe Passage. That same time period in 2022, we conducted 78 medical forensic exams. So that's 78 children who were able to undergo a medical forensic exam, find out that their bodies were okay, that they're healing, reassure patients and families that they don't have any medical concerns or that any medical concerns that they have related to the sexual assault were going to be addressed. And then work with our community partners and our team partners to ensure these families have what they need so that they can begin to heal both physically and mentally.
And to be treated by professionals that are solely dedicated to this purpose. Because as you know, in an ER, I'm sure there are many people who are working for the same goal, but at the same time have maybe shared responsibilities and shared priorities. Let's talk about, you mentioned some of the soft furnishings that are there. What other aspects of the examination area help make this space kid friendly?
We have art on the walls that's kid friendly, that we kind of have a sort of woodland theme. We've got some macrame owls that, you know, add a soft, it's just so much softer. There's, you know, rugs and living room furniture versus, you know, ER furniture or all of those items. It's just the lighting is softer. I mean, every aspect of the design elements has been thought, there's been a lot of thought put into these design elements to really make it not seem sterile, to make it very, very welcoming. And so that these children are walking into a space where they feel safe, supported, and then they're able to be connected with people who not only have the specialized medical knowledge, but also know how to apply what we talk about, trauma-informed principles. So how you communicate with somebody who's experienced sexual assault based on their developmental age.
And is it important to keep the kids distracted during this time, or do you need them to be focused on a certain thing, or are there video games that they're playing so that it helps relax them? I mean, how do you handle traumatized children so that you're getting the information that's needed for maybe a criminal prosecution, but at the same time treating them like the very delicate victims that they are?
Well, anybody who has interacted or has children knows that every child is different. You know, there's an expansive playroom there. So if we need to, you know, gather information, we're not forensic interviewers. That's not our role. They have forensic interviewers, very skilled forensic interviewers at Safe Passage. But obviously we need to talk to these children, build rapport. So we're able to do it either in our dedicated space or in a playroom. You know, some children want to, you know, talk and they know all their body parts and they're super almost unfortunately adult in their communication, and others, you know, want to play with trucks while you're asking questions. And so we're able to tailor our response to whatever that individual child needs.
And what have you learned over the last year since this advocacy center opened?
Oh, I've. I, how long is your show? I could probably go on for hours about what I've learned. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, the biggest, most impactful thing are sometimes the interactions where the child may not undergo a medical forensic exam, or really probably, let me take that back, when you're able to tell a child that their body is okay. A lot of there's all kinds of things that go into child sexual abuse, but oftentimes children come away from the abuse believing that they are somehow broken, that anybody can look at them and tell that they've been abused. And by having the ability to interact and these children can ask, you know, trained nurses questions, and we can tell them that they are, their bodies are okay, and that they are going to heal and address any, I've gotten a vast array of questions that you would never think would come up, but do, and they're able to ask these questions in a safe space with someone whose sole focus is them in that moment. And that's just, it's the impact that being able to tell a child that their body is okay and that they're healthy, I cannot possibly overstate that.
Well, we salute the work that you and your staff are doing. Definitely a difficult job, but a necessary job, unfortunately. Sarah Hagedorn, with UC Health, a forensic nurse examiner and the clinical manager, who's been talking about UC Health's involvement in the Children's Advocacy Center, the Safe Passage Children's Advocacy Center, as one of the partner agencies. And we should mention, if listeners suspect or have an idea that maybe abuse or neglect is going on, Colorado's Child Abuse and Neglect Hotline is available anytime. Just give them a call, 1-844-CO-4-KIDS. 1-844-CO-4-KIDS. Sarah, thank you for your time. We appreciate it here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Up next, we're going to be talking to a representative of the Family Center and what their involvement is at the Children's Advocacy Center. That and more coming your way. Welcome back with The Extra. We are marking the one-year milestone of the opening of Safe Passage Children's Advocacy Center, a nationally accredited children's advocacy center that does so much for the children in our community who are undergoing unspeakable pain and setbacks due to neglect and abuse. And joining us this morning, as we have been checking in with some of the partner agencies that work with Safe Passage, we have Gail, who is with Gail Christensen, who is a licensed clinical social worker with the Family Center. First of all, Gail, good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for the opportunity to be here today.
You bet. Let's talk about the Family Center. Tell us about this.
Yeah, the Family Center is a private agency, and for 33 years we have provided therapy to children who have experienced child abuse and neglect and their families, and that has been our specialty and our devotion throughout the years. And we have a longstanding relationship with Safe Passage in terms of serving the same clientele that they do. And so we're really pleased to be one of the collaborating agencies with the new co-location that opened a year ago.
Describe to us the role that the Family Center plays at Safe Passage.
So one of the things that we're able to do is to have therapy offices on site that allows children and their caregivers, their parents or caregivers, to come to a place they're familiar with where they've had a good experience and be introduced to some ongoing supportive therapy and treatment to help them recover and begin their path of hope and healing as we move forward. And so in addition to providing, you know, therapy on an individual basis and supporting the family, we have some treatment groups for that help support children who have experienced abuse and neglect, as well as a group to support parents in knowing how to deal with their children in a difficult time.
Why is your role so critically important? Because these children, we know, have had an experience that's, you know, with abuse or neglect that's negative, that's puzzling, that stumps them, that may leave them feeling, as we heard from Sarah Hagedorn, damaged or off in some way. Tell us why your role is so critical.
You know, Sarah made a really good point that kids often feel different, and they often feel like somehow people can tell what they've been through. They may feel like they're the only one. Children are often very relieved, if you will, to learn that you know, there are a lot of children in the community who have been through the kinds of things that they've been through, and they need a lot of support and understanding, and not only information about what happened and how that impacts them and affects them, but also that they will recovery and they will have helped them build skills for resilience and recovery so as they move forward in their life. One of the things that we are able to do by being co-located is provide mental health crisis support for sometimes children when they're really upset after going through the interview process or those kinds of things. And so we can provide someone to be there either on site or within a few minutes to be on site. And sometimes it's the parents who are going through a really emotional, difficult time, and we're able to provide that support as well.
And you mentioned this word earlier, collaborative. Why is collaboration such a key at Safe Passage Children's Advocacy Center? And how do you think it benefits all these partner agencies?
Well, a good illustration of that is that when children have come into my office over the years, one of the first things that is helpful for them to know that mental health therapy is very different than what they've just gone through in terms of having to report exactly what happened and that kind of thing. That we're going to focus on recovery and health and as Sarah said, to know that not only their bodies are okay, but that that their emotions make sense. And so we need to help them to have the tools to express what they emotions about what they've been through, as well as kind of regulate and do that in a productive way.
So let's talk about how we all can play a role in keeping kids in our community safe. What would you tell listeners who are listening in on this conversation about how to be aware of and alert to the signs of abuse and neglect? What should we be looking for?
You know, children experience the trauma associated with child abuse and neglect in a variety of ways. And, you know, I get asked that question a lot about, like, you know, what will we see in a child and how will they behave? And one of the points I often make is that depending on the child, they're going to express that in many different ways. Some might become silent and withdrawn. Others might be angry and acting out. And there's a wide range of things depending on that child. But there are some things that that people in the community can look for. One is a fairly dramatic change in behavior that sometimes occurs for kids if there's an incident that occurs, particularly if it's a specific incident versus a pattern. We might see something rather dramatic change in their demeanor or their behavior. Sometimes we are in a position to kind of determine that somehow the child's not able to be open. Abuse occurs in the context of secrecy, if you will, and so children are put in a position that's very difficult to come forward and speak up. And so in doing so, being able to do that in a co-location such as Safe Passage, they're able to go through whatever necessary legal and health issues that they have to go through initially, and then sort of begin that process of healing from the mental health perspective.
When I'm thinking of our listeners who hear this and look out, you know these warning signs, and maybe they're processing this, and I would guess there's a lot of hesitation because it's just sometimes such a big, obstacle to go over to get to the point where you think, okay, I feel comfortable calling and asking for help and alerting authorities to my suspicions. What can listeners do to, I guess, get over that mental blockage?
Well, I think that that starts with being a safe person that a child can be open with, and being someone that assures the child that whatever they may have to say, that adult can handle that and will kind of know what to do. And for most community members, that simply means that if there's evidence or they suspect that there may be child abuse or neglect, that they make the call to the 1-844-CO4KIDS number and make the report. I always kind of remind our therapists, you know, it's not our job to investigate. It's our job to report things that we suspect may be going on. And we let the other people that are part of the collaboration at Safe Passage do their part and look into it from Department of Human Services to CSPD or County Sheriff's Office or whatever, you know, whoever may need to look into it. And those people will sort out whether there's something that needs to be done.
It becomes a collaboration even at that point, yes. All right, well, Gail Christensen with the Family Center, very interesting talking to you about your partnership, and we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
And when we come back, we'll have more on Safe Passage Children's Advocacy Center. And, of course, we are talking about the one-year anniversary of this co-located advocacy center that has achieved applause and plaudits from across the country. We'll tell you about more on how you can support it and the work they do there, that when the extra continues. We've been talking to the folks involved in the Safe Passage Children's Advocacy Center, and Mo Basenberg, who is the executive director of Safe Passage, joined us at the top and joins us once again. And Mo, I was looking up, since you're marking the one-year anniversary, roughly, and I was looking up anniversary gifts, so paper would be the anniversary gift of choice for anyone wanting to help Safe Passage celebrate. This has been a significant milestone, and it's an achievement, really. This is a children's advocacy center that really reflects some of the best practices in the field.
It really does, and you know, it's easy to ask the question, well, why isn't it happening everywhere? Mm-hmm. You know, the truth is only 20% of advocacy centers are set up in this model across the country. And the answer as to why it's not more common, it's hard to do. you know, it really requires compromise while maintaining focus on the guiding principle of what is best for abused children.
Right, because you have to get all of these partner groups to buy into this idea. And for some, sure, it may be a natural correlation. You know, the Family Center, I can see why it would want to be co-located here. But getting, you know, some of these taxpayer-funded agencies, you know, like the police department, the sheriff's office, to also have that collaboration is a whole different, challenge of finding that collaborative sweet spot. What efficiencies do you think are realized when you have all these key partners under the same roof, housed together?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really wonderful to live that, right? Because we understood it conceptually when we were planning, but right now, you know, looking back, what have we achieved? And it's actually a lot of what we focused on this morning. So, you know, having access to specialized medical and specialized mental health services provides significant efficiency for children, caregivers, as well as for all of us partners, right? So all of our work is better, also while the child's experience and expediency, right, is improved. You know, and the things that you would expect, I mean, ease of communication. You know, if you could do some sort of data analysis, I would be pretty confident that you'd see far less email and voicemail amongst all of us that do this work, and more real-time communication when time is of the essence. I mean, you're trying to solve what a child needs to be safe, and so there should be as few delays as possible.
Right. And also, I can imagine that when you might have had to, for instance, travel offsite to a hospital ER, and there comes that point where you go, oh, that's the file or the resource that I need that's back at the office. And that causes delays and just obstacles in terms of, like you said, expediency of treatment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's just, we're really pulling away any of those factors that previously led us to, just be a little more distracted in the work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really honing that focus on what that kiddo and that caregiver need in the moment.
Well, I'm guessing if paper is the gift of choice, since it is the 1-year anniversary gift, a check would be most welcome, right? Written on paper.
Well, wow. And I didn't even pay you to say that. Yeah. The leap of faith that the board of directors and many community leaders took was significant. I mean, we are still in a capital campaign. We engaged in a loan in order to secure the facility, and we gutted it. We built it really back up from scratch, to customize what is needed for the work. And so, yeah, we do still have some outstanding commitments that certainly we need so that we can continue to serve the community for the next 28 years,
Okay. And to any listeners who are feeling so moved to give a gift for the 1-year anniversary, you can visit safepassagecac.org. And Mo, in this last couple of minutes, what would you say you've learned after 1 year of this involvement, of this collaboration, of this co-located Children's Advocacy Center?
Oh, there's been lots to reflect on for sure. I think, a couple things stand out for me. The first is just how committed our community is to being there for our children and for future generations. And I feel like we should really be proud of that. The world is full of very dark news and thoughts lately. And so I think it's important to hold that up as a light that our community knew what to do and got it done. And I think the other thing that strikes me is that continuous improvement really matters. It was obviously a huge leap forward for Safe Passage and our partners to enter into this best practice. And, now we're in a position of saying, what's next? For us as an agency, we're turning our attention to engaging, because we serve the whole 4th Judicial District, so El Paso and Teller, and there are other entities that we want to be better connected with, right? Other jurisdictions, other towns that are need to also be at the table, even if they can't be physically there. So it's time for us to look at how to keep that going and keep improving, because that's always possible, right?
Interesting. And it's always possible to improve as you embark and continue on this journey of bringing about the help and healing that the youngsters who undergo abuse and neglect as they turn toward their recovery journey as well. So good to have you on our show, Mo Basenberg, who's the executive director of Safe Passage, talking about the work that they do. Mo, just can't thank you enough for talking about this collaboration and how you're experiencing success after 1 year.
Oh, I just so appreciate the opportunity and what a gift that you've given our community and our agency, Shannon, to kind of follow this story and this trajectory, because it's really given moments of pause and celebration a space in our community. So thank you for having us on the show.
And don't worry, we'll continue to track your success as the years go on. And if you'd like to find out more, you can always visit safepassagecac.org. And if you've been listening to this hour of discussion here on The Extra and you have reason to suspect abuse or neglect and you would like to report it, and again, it doesn't have to be something that you need to prove. You can report your suspicions to the appropriate law enforcement agencies and they will do the investigative work to find out if your suspicions have any basis and what can be done for the children at the heart of them. But the number to call if you want to is 1-844-CO4-KIDS. And we would just encourage you, if you do have reason to have those suspicions, report first, let the authorities investigate, make sure that the kids get the help that they might need. Again, the number 844-CO4-KIDS. For kids. To my guests today, Mo Basenberg, Gail Christensen, and Sarah Hagedorn, thanks for being on The Extra. And to our listeners today, thank you for sharing in this hour of conversation. You're listening to KRDO News Radio. Tom Martino is up next after the top of the hour. Have a great Wednesday.